Are we ready?
I am. It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And this is, of course, fall, though you would be hard-pressed to prove that. I think I was out sailing on Sunday, and my captain and I both remarked toward one another that if we didn't know the date, we would have said this is mid-July, because it has felt like mid-July around here for several days, for a week or more, with temperatures in the 80s. And nothing is going to change on that front for a few more days at least. And I encourage you to get out and enjoy the lakes, because they're still very, very warm and very nice to be in right now. Today would be an excellent day to jump in and have a little swim before we actually do move into fall. Now, there are some signs of fall, and one of the most, I guess, pressing, the most immediate sign of fall is the soon-to-be-disappearing hummingbirds. And I went back through my records and did a little math. But over the last 20 years or more, the average date for the last hummingbird is tomorrow, September 18th. Now, in 2017, I saw my last hummingbird on the 8th of October. In 2013, I saw my last hummingbird on the 29th of September. The 3rd of October in 2010, and the 18th of October in 2008. So there can be some, I don't know if they're laggards or what, but there can be some hummingbirds that show up late. But typically, tomorrow will be the average last date for hummingbirds. And the earliest I ever saw my last hummingbird was on September 4th. And that stands alone. I guess September 5th was another year of really early last hummingbirds. But they are coming through the area. Leave your feeders out. At least I leave my feeders out until about the 1st of October, because I don't know when that last one will come through and need that little mouthful of sugar to get them down the road to the next feeder. So this time of year, you should be using three parts water to one part sugar. Let's make it thin enough that they can drink it. Go from 4 to 1 to 3 to 1 so that they get extra energy. And make sure I don't put a lot of water of juice in my feeders this time of year. And there aren't enough of them coming every day that they're drinking it down to any great extent. But I do change it about every third day just to keep it clean and not let it ferment or do anything else. In these warm temperatures, you put sugar water out and it isn't too long and you have wine. So keep them half filled or less, and keep them clean, and up the level of sugar in them so that they can the traveling birds can get the energy that they need. Keeping your feeder out will not keep hummingbirds in your area. No hummingbird is going to stay past its time to leave because you're offering it great nectar. It's just not going to happen. They have an imperative in their body that says, go south. And no amount of sugar and sugar water is going to keep them here. So don't worry about that. Don't be concerned that you're going to force them to stay later than they would otherwise stay. They will go when their body says go. And it doesn't matter what kind of feed you have out for them, they're going to leave. So be assured you're not going to kill any hummingbirds by feeding them and keeping them around your feeder for weeks and weeks when they should be flying south. They will fly south. That is probably the most immediate change that's coming. You probably have noticed that the leaves are starting to fall from the, well, mostly around my house, it is birch and sugar maple and some red maples, but not many. Most of the sugar maple in my yard, not sugar, I'm sorry, silver maple in my yard, if you stood back and looked at it from a distance, you would be hard-pressed to find a yellow leaf on it. But if you look at my deck, it's covered in leaves that have fallen off the tree. So a leaf here, a leaf there, changes color, drops off the tree, and that kind of goes on, starts a week ago or a little bit more. It'll increase over the next couple of days and weeks, and probably in early October, the whole tree will turn, what's left of the leaves on the tree will turn yellow and drop. Besides those guys, the pagoda dogwood, I have one that's out in my yard in the open, and that one is about 50% colored and leaves are falling. I have one that grows back in the woods that I observe, and that one is still just as green as can be and hasn't even shown the beginnings of any color. So position aspect has a lot to do with how they manage their color change. I'm seeing more and more red maples turning color. And I thought I would bring to you, some of this is a piece that I wrote about color change within the maple tree. Well, within leaves in general. So when you look at a leaf now, if it's still green, it is still active and still making sugars. That's its job. The leaf is a small sugar-producing factory, each one. And they are, you know, the plant puts them out, makes them in the spring, and there's a bit of a carbon debt because they've had to make this leaf. And they gain that carbon back and sugars throughout the summer. But now in the fall, they begin to stop that process. They begin to resorb some of the chemicals that they have put into making that leaf. The plant, the woody part of the tree actually pulls back on the phosphorus and nitrogen, especially that it is used to make the leaf, stores it in the branch, and that allows the tree in the springtime to actually begin putting out leaves even before the ground is thawed. Even before there's a complete freedom among the roots and whatnot for the plant to actually start functioning, moving water up and down through the xylem and phloem. But within the leaf, when you're looking at it, you have chlorophyll, which is the green, and chlorophyll reflects green. It absorbs every other color but reflects green. In that same leaf, there are three other chemicals. There are more than three, but three principal chemicals that exist in the leaf that you do not see during the regular part of the year that are coming out now. And they are carotenes, which are the orange color, and their job is to sort of absorb additional sunlight to protect the chlorophyll. So they're like the graphite rods in a nuclear reactor. They sort of slow down the reactions that are taking place, temper the reaction within the leaf, because without the carotenes, the leaf, the photosynthesis that is happening within the leaf can break down the chlorophyll and the chloroplasts and just destroy the leaf. So these carotenes kind of take in the extra light and say, okay, slow it down just a little bit. We'll hold that light. We're going to keep that back and just kind of save it a little bit. Then the carotenes are orange. Then there's a chemical called xanthophyll, and xanthophyll is yellow. And the purpose of the xanthophyll is to dissipate the heat given off by the chlorophyll and the carotenes. So they kind of bleed off the extra heat and also help protect the whole photosynthetic process. And the final chemistry in there is anthocyanins. And the anthocyanins are red, purple, and sometimes even blue. And they absorb the high energy ultraviolet light that strikes the leaf. And their job throughout the summer is to sort of act like a sunscreen. They're not allowing the UV light to burn the leaf, which it would do without their presence. So you have orange, yellow, and red, purple, and blue, red spectrum anyway. And all of those chemicals, once the plant starts pulling back on the nitrogen and phosphorus and the chloroplasts begin to break down and the green starts to fade out of the leaf, what is left behind are these three other chemicals, carotenes, xanthophyll, and anthocyanins. And those then determine sort of what's going to happen with the leaves. And the colors are the result of concentrations of chemicals found within the leaves, and the red colors are possibly the most sought after of the fall colors. And the reds are, as I mentioned, the result of the anthocyanins, and they are likely to be more intense in years where the growing season has been good. Anthocyanins are dependent on sugars. The better the growing season, the more soil moisture, the more sugars are produced, and the higher concentration of sugars, the more intense the red colors. Conversely, in drier years, the reds are less intense. And so a good dry fall following a good wet summer will increase the length of the spectacular colors. Clear skies, cool temperatures, and dry weather prolong the color season. As leaves senesce, and senescence is that process of dying, the cells within the leaves begin to break down. Rains will wash away much of the anthocyanins, causing the colors to fade faster. Not to mention that rainfall striking the leaves can dislodge them from the trees before they would normally fall. So when you notice the first maples turning color in the fall, think back to the weather that we have had over the summer, and you can kind of anticipate what sort of a color season we may experience. For our area, we had a lot of rain in June, but sparse rains in July and August. And so I don't really know what to expect. I will tell you this. There are a lot of reds showing up on the maples in my yard. And not only the maple, but this plant called woodbine, which is a vine and is easy to detect right now because it is bright red. It is probably at its peak of color. And you will see it limbing its way up maybe a spruce tree or a telephone pole. You'll see this big plume of red in an evergreen, in a spruce or a balsam or maybe even a pine. And those probably are woodbine, and they are just really starting to show off right now. So keep an eye out for those. Just checking some of the red maples. Typically, this is the time of year when they begin to show color. I typically anticipate the peak of color of the red maples in about a week. So starting around, let's see, today is the 17th, so it'll be the 24th next Tuesday, and I would anticipate that about from then until the 1st of October, we should have some pretty spectacular maples. So good time of year to get out and check them out. Saw a bunch of birds this past week. I saw a brown thrasher. I saw a little golden-crowned kinglet. I saw great blue herons, green herons. I saw, the white-throated sparrows are hanging out at my feeder. I haven't seen any purple finches for a while, and I haven't seen any goldfinches for a while. Now, they could be around, but they haven't been at my feeder, so I don't know about those. And, of course, the red-winged blackbirds are in huge flocks along the rivers. And I've had a couple of conversations, one with Fred Anthony and one with Kyle Pearson, and both had seen huge flocks of red-winged blackbirds along the river. And from my days as a duck hunter, that was absolutely typical in the fall. You would have these monster flocks of blackbirds moving around in the cattails along the river. I also saw northern flickers, turkey vultures, a flock of robins. I explained last week about the robins, the fact that they are, this time of year, they're in flocks. And if they're in your neighborhood, you're going to see a lot of them. They're out looking for fruit right now. The insects have kind of gone. They're not getting many angleworms, and they're spending a lot of time searching out fruits that they will eat. But if they're not in your yard, you're not going to see them, and you're going to think the robins are gone. But they're just hanging out in big flocks, and it'll be, oh, another month or so before they really start thinking about moving out of the area. You may have noticed that the pines in your neighborhood are starting to change color. The white pines and the Norway pines, the jack pines, Scotch pine, all of them are starting to show a little color. This is normal. The three-year-old needles on pines turn brown and fall, and that's how the pines work. The maples in your yard are putting out a leaf that runs for 4 or 5 months and produces a lot of sugar over a really short period of time. The pines put out a needle, which is also a leaf, but it is much more durably made, much more expensive to make. And so the pine gets a smaller payback over a longer period. So it keeps the needle for 3 years and gets a small return on investment over the 3 years that that needle is on the tree. Whereas the maple is putting out a leaf and saying, hey, give me all the sugar you can, or give me all the sunlight you can, and I'll make as much sugar as I can in a very short period of time, and then I'm done. And they don't have as much of an investment in their leaf, but what investment they do make, they recover, either by bringing the chemistry back into the leaf, or when the leaf falls to the ground, there are an army of biological agents that are laying there in the ground who are rapidly going to turn that leaf. They're going to release all of the stored carbon within that leaf. And a lot of that carbon is, because it's happening right under the maple tree, it's going to go right back into the roots of the maple and come back in the next year as more. So, well, that's enough about all of that. Enjoy the fall. It's beautiful out there. These great fall days are wonderful for getting out. There are very few mosquitoes left and no deer flies. So get out and enjoy this weather. It is fabulous.
You can sign up to learn more about nature with our Season Watch newsletter. It comes out once a week. Easy to do that. Go to kaxc.org. Just put your email address in at our website.